The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, a good Wednesday morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. And as always, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. We're here thankfully every Wednesday morning, and we interview missionaries from around the world. We interview pastors, and we also take time to instruct God's people in some of the things that is error when it comes to what is being taught across this world. And with that in mind, I want to welcome our church historian. And he is certainly no stranger, and I say that every time because that's the truth. But our historian, Brother Carl Baker, welcome to the studios today for Wheat Among the Tares.
I'm delighted to be back, Blake.
Brother, it's been several weeks. We had started a series on the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we had done two episodes of this. And at the same time, when we finished that last one, Brother Carl, we both said, that's still not enough. And what we did was we decided we wanted to do a third and final episode on this. And what I'm grateful for is in this particular episode, we laid a very thorough background as far as what they believe. And you did an excellent job on that. And I've had comments on those two episodes. And by the way, If you're listening and you have not had a chance to listen to those first two, then I'm going to challenge you to go back and listen to those as a result of listening to this stage so that you can go back and get a good foundation that'll bring you up to speed on where we are with this today. Brother Carl, you mentioned in the previous two broadcasts concerning the Jehovah's Witnesses how that they are very dependent on their works. And that is certainly not a new doctrine. That's been since the days of Cain, mm-hmm. as he offered his works before the Lord. And of course, they weren't accepted. And God gave him an opportunity to correct that, and he did not. The particular point that I want to start with on this episode is that you tied not only the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the Mormons, Catholic, other denominations, that their salvation is tied not to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it is tied to the works and the organization itself and what the organization promulgates upon theirs who are belonging to that particular sect or cult. Let's start with that, brother. That is such a key point of these being tied to the works of their organization in order, in their minds, that they might be saved.
Jehovah's Witnesses are just one of the many modern, what you call organizational movements established by the devil to overthrow the Word of God, to be the authority of promises of God,
mm-hmm.
the work of God on our behalf. The Bible says in John 3:16, which is the most known verse of any religious organization in the entire world, God so loved the world,
that's right,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
When this modern era came, we were told by Paul the Apostle, that there were going to be those that would fall away as far as leave the faith itself.
Right.
By seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We were warned by Paul in Colossians about those who said that they had seen angels, and he says, and they had not seen them. We were warned of Jude, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who told us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints just before the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you look at that time scale, because he brings up Enoch too, just before the flood.
That's right.
And the flood is one of the illustrations of the judgment that's fixing to come on the world. And so he said, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he said, he prophesied of these, saying, and he talks about those that are ungodly sinners. They preach an ungodly doctrine. And he warns us about that these individuals, though, when he tells us in Jude, if I may, I think it's a very good verse. He says, because it's very pertinent to what we're discussing right now in our closing of this thing about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Jude says this, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Notice this salvation is a common salvation. In the sense of this right here, God only gave one for everybody. He didn't give two, three, four, five, or six. This business where that all religions lead us to God, and they're all, you know, many arms of the faith that God gave to man, and will all get us to the same, you know, it'll get us to the same place in eternity, are absolutely false doctrine in their foundation. He said this right here, It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul warned the elders of Ephesus when he was departing from Asia and brought them all together in Acts chapter 20 and told them this right here, that there would even be those amongst the ministers of the gospel to draw away disciples after themselves that would begin to speak perverse things. If you'll notice something about these false religions, it's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses, but all of them have something in common. Notice, if you will, that they all claim to have supernatural visions, incantations with spirits, of whom the Scripture warns us about in these last days. If you'll notice, Brother Blake, and I hope the Christians will notice too, that God puts the emphasis to us on what He has revealed to us, and for not only giving us the historical background of mankind, but also giving the future of mankind. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
We have prophecy through the Scripture. No prophecy of the Scriptures or of any private interpretation. But these people are full of private interpretation. And he says, not of any private, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, when you come to your Bible, and that's why they try to get the Bible out of the scene. In these so-called denominational organized religions, you'll notice this right here, that they always have a man that establishes them, that have seen things and have visions that take people away from the faith of the Bible into their own personal experiences with other spirits in another place. You take example, you take even the Roman Church, whenever at the Council of Nicaea, when it began to establish the first organized religion outside the Church of Jesus Christ, yet claimed to be the Church of Jesus Christ. You'll notice it was a state religion. Constantine himself was at the Council of Nicaea and got all the ministers together. Why? Because he wanted an ecumenical church where all of them would agree. And if you'll notice, he himself appeared at the Council of Nicaea with the title of Pontifex Maximus himself, establishing himself, the state ruler, to be over the churches and trying to bring them together around a common agreement of doctrines and such that, so that the church would be the state religion, but the state would have some power over it. When Constantine left Rome, vacated it, and went to Constantinople, the city of Constantine, to establish it as the second the capital of the empire, you may say.
Exactly, yes.
He left Rome vacated, and guess who took over Rome in, once it was vacated as far as its riches and power? Was the Bishop of Rome. And the Bishop of Rome began to exalt himself. And through time, if you'll notice, at time, all of a sudden it became an organized religion around the papacy and the organization of the Roman Catholic Church itself until now. Now, the salvation is no longer, the common salvation is not preached by Rome. Now, it's the sacraments that bring us salvation. Going right back to works. Just like Cain. Just like Balaam sold out for as far as to Balak for get Israel in moral issues with God. So Cain himself rejected the sacrifice of God, which was the lamb, and did what? He put it in the soil and the works of his own hands. Well, from Rome, you find the Muslims come up in the 600s. And when the Muslim faith comes up, they got a man. Muhammad. All right, how did Muhammad come up with the so-called oracles that they themselves had received, which is called the Quran, a Bible foreign from the Bible altogether? How did Islam get established? He got established on him, but he established the fact that he himself had seen visions and spoke to angels and spirits and such as that. That's where he got his revelation from. He didn't get his revelation from the Bible. And now Islam, look at how powerful Islam is. You're talking about an organized religion. And yet, you know something? The Quran is more revered in Islam than the Bible ever was in anybody's religion.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Then came, Mormons. Once the Mormon established its religion, how was it established? It was established around Joseph Smith. Well, how did Joseph Smith establish that organized religion that we now know as Mormonism?
Mm-hmm.
Visions, saying he saw the Father and the Son and the whole, and they gave him a revelation, told him all the religions were wrong up to now, and now he was going to establish another religion, and it would be a pure religion. But what is it a religion around? It's around the establishment of man's works again. He gives them three heavens. You can work real high and everything else within the church and obey it and enter into the celestial city, or you can enter the terrestrial city, if according to your works. And another thing about these organized religions, they demeaned just like the devil did to Eve in the garden. They demeaned the commandments of God, but the judgment of God. You shall not surely die. It's always lessening the punishment. You'll notice that Mormonism does not give an eternal wrath that God is going to pour out on anybody, though the Scripture says so. You'll find this right here, that not only the Mormons, but the Seventh-day Adventists rise with a man who also, William Miller and Ellen G. White, saw visions. Ellen G. White claims to have gone to the third heaven and actually went and saw the Ten Commandments within the Ark, with especially the commandment of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that one glowing in light. So she comes down to establish that. But what is Seventh-day Adventism? It is nothing but it's a religion of works whereby you can lose your salvation if you don't continue with good works. It is not the grace of God that saves you and sanctifies you and keeps you, because what keeps you is the power of the Holy Spirit according to Ephesians chapter 1. And so you take where we are now, the Jehovah Witnesses. What are they establishing? How did they get established? They got established by Charles Taze Russell, Judge Rutherford, and all the other great so-called leaders of the Jehovah Witness movement. They claim to have a supernatural ability to be able to prophesy and tell us about the end times and what's going to take place. But they've got an organizational religion in this right here. If you don't get baptized into the Jehovah Witness faith, if you don't get it baptized into the organization, and their baptism is an organizational baptism because you get baptized accepting the organization, not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the organization. In fact, they say this right here. You can't be eternally secure even if you follow the organization, because you've got to endure to the end if you're going to be saved. adding works to your securities again. You can lose your salvation by falling out of the grace of the organization. The Roman Church puts two sins upon you. The mortal sins and the venial sins. And you, what about the Roman Church coming up with a purgatory? Well, they, all of them have this too. Because it, when we talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say this right here, that there's going to be a day of Armageddon coming. And when the day of Armageddon comes, it will be a deciding factor on who's going to be able to go into the millennium. And so, if you're on the right side and you've been, if you've been, more or less kind of enlightened to Jehovah God being the true God, and understanding there's no such thing as a Trinity. Christ is not God manifest in the flesh, as the Bible says. God wasn't in Christ reconciling the world to himself, as the Bible says. Christ was not equal with the Father. In 1 John chapter 5, 7, it's not in the New World Translation. It's not in there. It's gone. You know what? Where it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
That's right. Yeah.
There's no Trinity there because they don't believe in a Trinity. All the verses on hell are all out of the New World Translation.
That's
all of those things are. All of the things that offended them to establish this organized religion, they take anything out of the Bible that offends them. And you know something? So do these other organizations. They do the same thing. They change the Word of God into a lie.
Brother, the common thread, if
yes,
we can use that, throughout all these. And by the way, that was a great resummary of some of the previous programs that we've done. And it definitely shows a correlation between, Brother, again, it's most definitive in the fact that it's works versus the grace of God. Brother, there has to be, in my mind, and number one, and by the way, if you're just joining us here, we're talking with our church historian, Brother Carl Baker, and we're focusing on the Jehovah's Witnesses and how he brought up some of the main tenets in the latter part of his discourse just now. Brother, there is absolutely, in my mind, and I'm sure you can allude to this as well, there's absolutely no peace to any of those followers because they are constantly in a fear of having to do the right thing, trying to maintain a level of works that in their mind is going to garner them eternal life, but yet staying on the cusp of no peace and wondering this whole time, am I really okay? Am I not okay? Where do I stand? Brother, to me, that is one of the most difficult and I'll use the word hellish situations to be in for a person that absolutely has no peace about their soul, and when they die, where are they going? And the organization just keeps pushing, you've got to do, you've got to do, you've got to do.
Brother Blake, if I could warn anyone about, I don't care what the religion is, even they're going to come up with some new ones even in our day, if the Lord tarries. God has given the authority of His revelation in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Scriptures include the works, but I want to say this right here. The doctrine of salvation is the revelation of God to us through the Scriptures, letting us know that we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
By the washing of regeneration. You know what I'm saying? That Bible says, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor adulterers, effeminate, abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord and by His Spirit. You know what? What justifies us is the blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
An atonement was made for our sins. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, the Scripture tells us that Christ was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that concerning sin, it says, and He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But here's the clutch. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is what the Bible says about salvation. This is exactly what God tells everybody about this common salvation that'll save you. The Bible says that it's the preaching of the gospel, and the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But this is what God chose. It says this right here. He says, I thank God, Paul's speaking about the thing about people having a problem with baptism and talking about what church leader baptized them and such as that. And Paul saw their spiritual confusions over this matter of elevating a man who was associated with God, Christ when he was on the earth and such as that, and elevating them to a point where that the Scripture doesn't elevate the man, it elevates Christ. It says, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Every one of these religions outside Islam preaches baptismal regeneration. Without exception, check it. They do. I'm going to tell you something. They all believe that you're washed from your sins when you get baptized. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What is the preaching of the cross? He just told you it was the gospel. Christ dying for our sins. Notice what he says. But to preaching the cross them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Their Bibles say, are being saved. They even changed the Scriptures on the fact of the surety of your salvation in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and says this right here. He says this. He says, which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after then the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. To save them that believe.
Brother, the progressive enlightenment, and you just said the works of those men, to them, the preaching is foolishness.
Yes.
To them, and I'm talking about specifically, we're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, even though all these others tie in so much together, mm-hmm. because they do two things, and you said it very well, that they believe that baptism is the point of salvation for them, because, and you talk to people today, and the first thing they'll tell you was, I was baptized. To them, that is a crucial thing. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation as far as the salvation of our souls. But number two, that it elevates a man.
That's right.
And that was the point to me. You go back through all that history, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are no exception when it comes to that. And that they revere, as you said earlier, they revere a man, and they depend upon what his take, his, what his thoughts are, as conveyed through their publications, through their interpretation of the Scriptures. Brother, it all comes down to a point of they either believe what a man says, or they believe what the Scriptures say?
The Jehovah Witness organization leaves you no doubt, and doesn't even leave its so-called believers and followers without doubt. They let them know that if they're looking for the truth and the true interpretation of God's will, you go to the Tract Society, the Watchtower Tract and Bibles, the Bible and Tract Society. If you're going to get revelation on an interpretation, comes from the hierarchy of the Jehovah Witness organizational leaders, and they give the interpretation, and then they publish it. And when they publish it, then the followers understand what they have to believe to continue on in these labors and such as that, so they can be found, faithful at the end. You will mention that baptism. Let me show you point blank what they say in their baptism. When a Jehovah Witness comes once a year, when they have the memorial service and everything else and such as that, and the believers are baptized that period of time around April of the year, this is what is said to them when they are going to be baptized. Have you repented from your sins, and have you dedicated yourself to Jehovah and accepted His way of salvation through Jesus Christ? Can you imagine that they understand what that guy just got through saying? That it's our interpretation about this, the baptism here, about what you're going to believe. And so you confirm and say yes, because you're thinking this right here, have you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ? No, they're saying this right here. Have you dedicated yourself to Jehovah and accepted His way of salvation through Jesus Christ? You say yes. You understand. He continues on and says this right here. You understand that your baptism identifies you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with Jehovah's organization, and they must confirm that they do, that they're now being baptized into the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses. Not just the faith of Jesus Christ, but the organization itself, and the organization forever after that has the power over their salvation.
And the bondage,
right.
That is true. And to me, Brother Carl, in a quick summary here, it's a bondage that if a person ever wants to leave or is compelled in their mind to question, they are thinking this whole time, because I have all my thoughts, all my everything is tied to that baptism,
that's right,
that confession. If they ever start to see something in a different light,
yes,
if they're ever confronted with the true Scriptures, it is going to absolutely cause them so much question in their mind, but they would be afraid to lay themselves aside from that because they're afraid they're, quote, losing the salvation that they are so hard trying to maintain and hang on to. And brother, that is a bondage that is, quote, second to none, and only the Scriptures, brother, can break the bondage of that. And brother, that's why Satan absolutely hates the preaching of the gospel.
When we get baptized, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, by one Spirit are ye baptized into one body,
mm-hmm,
whether you be bond or free. It doesn't make any difference whether you're Gentile or Greek. It makes, I mean, Greek or a Jew. We're all baptized into the body of Christ. When you get baptized by these organizational religious people who have a hierarchy to interpret the Scriptures instead of the Spirit of God, you know what? You get baptized into an organization that can take away exactly what they gave you. As I've read through these things, and I know it's time we're going to have to close, but as I've read through these things, I'll tell you what, it would do some people some good. If you're thinking about joining one of these organizations, I want to say this right here. You make sure you check, first of all, with some people who've come out of that organization.
Absolutely.
And you'll understand what excommunicated really is all about. And I mean from Rome to the JW movement, the Mormons, Islam, all of them. It is so horrific on the souls of those who finally get enlightened enough to remove themselves away from the false doctrine to the truth of the Word of God. It's sad to see the way they're treated and how they're ostracized and condemned, yea, some anathematized to such a point. I just leave you with the testimony of Huss again. When they came to burn Huss for his stand against the Rome and on behalf of the Bible and the faith of the Scriptures.
That's right.
The priest came to Huss while they were fixing to light the faggots and said, "I separate you from the church militant, and I also separate you from the church triumphant." Huss said, "Sir, to separate me from the church militant, thou hast the power. But to separate me from the church triumphant, thou hast no power at all."
Amen. That is an excellent way to end this particular episode. Carl Baker, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for, again, sharing your time with us. And my hope, folks, is that those things that have been brought forth on this broadcast particularly, that it has enlightened you. And I'm sure that you may have relatives, friends, those that are involved in many of these organized religions. And we hope that you will share what we have done in this three-part program concerning Jehovah's Witnesses, others that have dealt with Mormons. We have tried and labored here to convey not only the truths of the Word of God here, but how they lay aside against the errors of those that are involved in this and are promulgating these particular doctrines. Well, thanks for joining us today. Would love to hear some comments from you concerning that. You can go to our contact page on Gethsemane Global Radio. Send us a comment. We would love to hear from you. Brother Carl and I would both love to hear from you concerning that. And we're hoping that, again, this has been a blessing to you. Well, trust that you'll have a good day in the Lord. Thanks again for joining us.